Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. Jesse DeLeon here along with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this sixth Sunday of Easter. So incredible that the season is flying by so fast, Bishop, to already be at this point and have the Easter season continue, but it is moving along quite quickly.
Yes, and I am glad you brought that up because I do want to emphasize for everyone that there's a refrain refrain that comes out throughout the whole liturgy, mm-hmm. Office of the Readings, Liturgy of the Word, the Eucharist, Mass, is Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. You know, in the early church, that was repeated in the streets when mm-hmm. people passed each other during the season. Jesus is risen, and the response was, Jesus is truly risen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. That really is the mark of our soul, and especially in the life that we're living today, in the kind of a cultural death, mm-hmm. When everything seems to be falling apart in our own selves, we can repeat, Jesus is risen, hallelujah. So I want to start off with that today, that in this Easter season that continues, Jesus mm-hmm. is risen, he is truly risen, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we thank you for starting us off with that very, very insightful and renewing message as we prepare to listen to this Sunday's gospel from St. John.
It's taken from the 14th chapter of St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When looking at this, I can't help but be struck by how it's connected to last week's gospel, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever wants to go to the Father will come through me. And here he reiterates that even more deeply about loving the Father through him as well. It's like the next step. Yes. And it seems to dovetail quite beautifully from last week to this week.
Yes. In fact, that whole the chapters of St. John's gospel, 13, 14, 15, really mm-hmm. focus us in on the reality of Jesus present in our lives and mm-hmm. present in our world. We many times may see Jesus under different aspects, that he healed people, he forgave people, he stood up to authorities that were promoting different commandments mm-hmm. and things than he was. So we see all these things, and then, of course, his death and resurrection. But in these chapters of St. John, he gets very intimate mm-hmm. about who he is in relation to the Father, in relation to us, and in relation to the Holy Spirit. Of course, we know that God is only one. There's not three modalities that right. God does this. And this is the mystery of God. Whenever Jesus speaks, it's the Father and the Holy Spirit. It's, you know, on the cross, the whole Trinity was there as well, mm-hmm. but in the person of Jesus Christ. So it's a great mystery. And people say, well, I don't understand a mystery. Well, I don't either.
I've done That's a lot why of it's studies. A mystery, right?
Yeah. I've done a lot of studies, but the thing is we don't accept it on brain power.
Right.
We accept it on faith. And so to read this gospel, it really takes faith. And as Jesus said, knowing him, mm-hmm. and how do we know him? By listening to his word, understanding his word, knowing his word. And so this is who Jesus is as he's preparing in this part of the gospel, preparing his disciples for his ultimate departure in the sense of the ascension back into heaven,
right,
that they will not be left alone, orphaned.
I think it's very powerful, too, when people, we talk about this quite often on the program, about having a relationship with Jesus and establishing that connection. Starting with these gospel passages, he is more personalized, I think, than people realize. People that are wanting to make that connection with him, this is a good place to start. And to see him in that sense of who he is, but also how he invites us to connect with him and to encounter him.
Yeah, true. And I think where do we start? That's always a question for people, mm-hmm. either just coming to know Jesus, and
right.
it shouldn't amaze us that there's many who are coming to know him for the first time. Mm-hmm. We in the past 50, 60 years would have thought that at least the general public would know of mm-hmm. Of Christianity and Jesus, even if they didn't adhere to it. But it's amazing, even people who come from a traditional Christian Catholic background, the younger generation does not.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a fresh start. It's
right.
not something to be discouraged about, but it's a fresh start for all of us. So where do we begin?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jesus is very clear here at the very beginning, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. There's a word that is not popular. There's mm-hmm. a word that is misconstrued, misunderstood, as many things are in the spiritual nature, and that's obedience.
Right.
That if you love me, there's a condition to it. If you love me, you will prove it.
Right.
You obey my commandments. And we're not talking about the Ten Commandments. Jesus, as he said, he sums up all of the commandments in one commandment, which is love,
mm-hmm.
which is not feeling, which is not sentimentality, which is not romanticism,
mm-hmm.
but it is actually doing what Jesus said and did himself to follow that example. That's obedience. You know, I was reading a commentary and he said, you know, how many husbands will say to their wives or wives to their husband, oh, I love you, and then blaspheme them. What do you want to talk about them with their other friend?
Right.
You know, where is that love? Or kids, children saying to their parents, I love you, and then go out and do what they told them not to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a culture, and it's all of us. I mean, you know, I have vows too. And, you know, I try to live by the gospel too, but I also find myself not doing it. This is life. But again, Jesus always brings us back to, if you love me, mm-hmm. you will keep my commandments. And if you keep my commandments, I will love you and I will show you to the Father. The Father is in me. I am in you.
Mm-hmm.
So to enter into relationship with Jesus, it requires his word,
mm-hmm.
his commandments. It's not something that's some book sitting on the table that we can just dust off every once in a while, but it really is our book of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so important to us today.
Thank you for saying that, Bishop. I know a lot of people, especially during this season of Easter, looking maybe to reconnect in some ways to maybe they have family that are going to be members that are going to be confirmed or taking their first communion. So that new beginning, that new sense of maybe returning, some sort of renewal, and reading these passages, like you said, whether we've been lifelong Catholics or maybe just now coming to the faith and understanding it, these passages, these words that Jesus says really, really offer comfort. Even that the one that also, as you were speaking, I will not leave you orphans.
Right.
That feeling of you'll always be we'll always be with him and he with us, and
yeah.
if we choose to keep the commandments, as you said,
right?
So beautiful.
When he speaks of the advocate, you know, in the Greek,
mm-hmm.
I did a little study because this is very
right.
important to
right.
me too. But it's the paraclete. We use that word, you know, the paraclete,
mm-hmm.
and we often think it's the Holy Spirit, which it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if we go always back to the origin of words, which is important when we're doing biblical studies, to go back to the original Greek text and the parakletos.
Mm-hmm.
And the Greeks would say, just in common speech, that I have to go to court. Would you be my parakletos?
Uh-huh.
In other words, would you come and witness for me?
Mm-hmm.
So if you take all these meanings that it had in its original, you can see that the Holy Spirit comes to witness Jesus in our lives,
mm-hmm.
or I got in trouble, would you come and be my paracletus?
Right. Right.
So we get in a corner,
mm-hmm.
you know, as human beings. And where do we go?
Mm-hmm.
Who do we call upon? Well, in those moments of even despair, even those moments of real difficulty, it's the paraclete that has been sent to us to remind us of everything Jesus said, remind us that God loves us, reminds us that Jesus is in us through the Spirit himself. So the Spirit, it guides us and reminds us. And that's the role of a paracletus, even in the civil sense or the normal sense, human sense of the word back in the very beginning. So this is Jesus's gift. He's sending himself, his Spirit, through the Father. So
and it enables us to take action and maybe even to open our eyes in some way to see him at work in our lives, whereas maybe before we didn't or were too distracted to see
right.
that.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful way of looking at that and how that's an extension of him. It's like you said, it's not a separate entity. They're all in one working together.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm doing confirmations right now, and I really love it because I think I'm speaking more to myself, but hopefully the the young people, I have another one, throughout the week. But, you know, there's one gift of the Holy Spirit that is so important and really kind of sums up all of them, and that is courage or fortitude, you know, to have the fortitude. And I always tell the young people and that you don't find fortitude in the gymnasium or on the sports field. We have to condition ourselves physically. But the same thing is spiritually. We have to condition ourselves to do what we have to do. Mm-hmm. When a football team, let's say, or a volleyball team, or basketball team goes out, they look at their opponent and they go, wow, we've really got to get ready for this one.
Right.
So maybe a little more time in the gym, a little more time at practice, a little kind of stretching themselves. When we look at life, there are many teams that are stronger physically than we are. Where do we get our strength to continue living as Jesus lived, to say what he said and not what we want to say humanly, to blast people, to bully people? That's not who we are. We get it from the paraclete. The paracletus is there to strengthen us and intercede for us and give us what we need when we need it. So I don't know if that's clear to everyone, but just think of yourselves, body and soul. The soul, the strength of the Spirit in us needs to come shining through more and more. Mm-hmm. And we can only do that with our paracletus, with the Holy Spirit in us, the power of Jesus Christ, his Father, living in us.
And with that behind us and understanding it, we deepen our relationship that much more. And like we talked earlier about around this time of year where people want to maybe renew or even rediscover that connection with Jesus, this is a starting point. And those are beautiful words to begin that for them or to remind ourselves of it if we are already on that journey. Okay, well, so we're on the sixth Sunday of Easter discussing the Gospel of John. We will continue in just a moment right here on Our Shepherd's View.
Our Shepherd's View. We'll be right back.
The Knights of Columbus cordially invite you to a very special Mass event. It's called Wheelchair Sunday, and it consists of five Catholic Holy Masses the weekend of June 10th and 11th at Corpus Christi Cathedral. At each Mass, beginning with the Vigil Mass on Saturday and followed by four Masses on Sunday, Fourth Degree Sir Knight Christopher Lewis, son of legendary comedian Jerry Lewis, will discuss the project and present a video describing the push for more wheelchairs for indigent people who desperately need our help. Since 2003, the Knights of Columbus, through these Wheelchair Sunday fundraisers, have provided over 7,000 wheelchairs to persons of all faiths and ages who thirst for mobility, independence, dignity, and hope. As a byproduct, this work has caused membership in the Knights of Columbus to increase markedly. For more specific information, call the Diocesan Deputy of the Knights of Columbus, Rudy Ortiz, 361-549-9528.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View on this sixth Sunday of Easter. Jesse DeLeon here with Bishop Michael Mulvey discussing the Gospel of John and reflecting on deepening our relationship with Jesus, especially during this time of year. Bishop, you have quite a busy schedule of confirmations. You were mentioning last segment, you see a lot of the young people that are coming forward and taking part in that beautiful sacrament.
Yes. And it's, I think sometimes you get, you wonder if it does sink in, but I believe in the power of the Spirit.
Of course.
You know, whether they understand. You can't make anyone understand, even myself, through one sermon or two years of class and preparation. But I think with time, as we live life, we come to understand everything that Jesus said. Mm-hmm. We try to adapt ourselves to the world. We try to adapt ourselves to a political world. We try to adapt ourselves to all things that on the human plane. And at a certain point, I think all of us come to a moment of consciousness and awareness that this is not who I am. That St. Catherine's powerful reality of who I, you know, what, in order to live, I have to understand who I am. Mm-hmm. And, this past week, there was a letter from Dionysius, one of the early, early letters in Christian life. And I thought it was very, very, it was a renewal for me. I've read it many, many times. Mm-hmm. But I think in the context of what we're talking about today, and who is the Christian in the world today? So if you don't mind, let's read that for the second part here. It's a little bit lengthy, but I think it says a lot to me, because we're confused. How do I live all this beautiful stuff we're hearing? Mm-hmm. How do I love Jesus and obey him and his word and live in a war-torn, divided world like this? What's the spirit that I bring as a committed Christian, committed Catholic, into this world that we live in? So let's go back centuries to the very beginning and hear what Dionysius said. He said, "Christians are indistinguishable from other men and women, either by nationality, language, or customs. They do not inhabit separate cities of their own, or speak a strange dialect, or follow some outlandish way of life. Their teaching is not based upon revelries inspired by the curiosity of men and women. Unlike some other people, they champion no purely human doctrine. With regard to dress, food, and manner of life in general, they follow the customs of whatever city they happen to be living in, whether it is Greek or foreign. And yet there is something extraordinary about their lives. They live in their own countries as though they were only passing through. They don't get attached. Mm-hmm. They play their role full as citizens, but labor under all disabilities of aliens. Any country can be their homeland, but for them, their homeland, wherever it may be, is a foreign country." So in other words, we live in this world, but we're not of this world.
Of the world.
"Like others, they marry and have children, but they do not expose them. Christians love all men and women, but all men and women persecute them. Condemned because they are not understood, they are put to death but raised to life again. They live in poverty but enrich many. They are totally destitute but possess an abundance of everything. They suffer dishonor, but that is their glory. They are defamed but vindicated. A blessing is their answer to abuse, deference their response to insult. For the good they do, they receive the punishment of malefactors. But even then, they rejoice as though receiving the gift of life. They are attacked by others. They are persecuted by others. Yet no one can explain the reason for the hatred. To speak in general terms, we may say that the Christian is to the world what the soul is to the body." I think this gets into what we're talking about with the soul. Where is the soul? It's in love with Jesus and his word. "As the soul is present in every part of the body while remaining distinct from it, so Christians are found in all cities of the world but cannot be identified with the world. As the visible body contains the invisible soul, so Christians are seen living in the world, but their religious life remains unseen. The body hates the soul and wars against it, not because of any injury the soul has done to it, but because of the restriction the soul places on the body's pleasures. Similarly, the world hates Christians, not because they've done anything wrong, but because they are opposed to its enjoyments. Christians love those who hate them, just as the soul loves the body and all its members despite the body's hatred. It is by the soul, enclosed within the body, that the body is held together, and similarly, it is by the Christian, detained in the world as in a prison, that the world is held together. The soul, though immortal, has a mortal dwelling place. And Christians also live for a time amidst perishable things while awaiting the freedom from change and decay that will be theirs in heaven. As the soul benefits the deprivation of food and drink, so Christians flourish under persecution. Such is Christians' lofty and divine appointed function, for which he is not permitted to excuse himself. Now, this is a time of persecution when this is written, a time of the martyrs had been in full force, but it's a great reminder to us who we are in the world. When you join in the fight, the argument, you lose. Mm-hmm. The Christian is there to stand apart from that, not that he doesn't care, but he cares so much to bring peace and forgiveness. So our role is to bring peace and forgiveness, not to join in mm-hmm. with our friends in bringing discord and hatred into the world. Ours is the opposite,
right.
To pull people away from that, mainly by example. Dionysius is also saying they were persecuted for that. They were martyred for that. But they're like the soul. And I love the part, I don't know if you caught it, where it says the Christian keeps the world together.
Mm-hmm.
Because without any kind of a moral compass, without any kind of an example of who God is, and that's who we are,
mm-hmm.
then the world just, it's already, look at us now.
Right.
You know, the absence of God, many would say, in the world is causing the discord, the disunity, the wars, and everything, because God's presence is not seen, understood, or witnessed to in the world. We tend to join in mm-hmm. with the fight instead of stand apart. Not that we don't care.
Right, right.
But stand apart to offer something different.
Mm-hmm.
That's our role. That's who we are. And why are we like that? Because of the gospel today. If you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was persecuted strictly because he brought something different than what was the commonly held cultural mores of the day.
Mm-hmm. In other words, the norms, if you
the
will.
Norms that were people yeah. were living because they're comfortable.
Right.
The body gets comfortable.
And unchallenged.
The soul is always restless because St. Augustine said, my heart is restless mm-hmm. until it rests in you. So we are to the world what the soul is to the body, giving direction, giving comfort, you know, being Christ present in the world today. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think that is important for us to remember. And I go back to that beautiful word, obedience. I want to just say a moment, something about that.
Mm-hmm.
Obedience is not servile obedience, you know, that I do something because I'm being whipped for it, beaten
right.
into it. Obedience is an absolute absurdity mm-hmm. in human terms. We'll be honest.
In human terms, right.
In human terms. It is absolutely insane. It is absolutely against every mental capacity to understand in human terms.
Right.
And that needs to be clear. Only when love is present, because obedience is a response to love. Jesus came and said, the Father and I are one. I've come to do the Father's will, mm-hmm. quote, obedience. The hymns of St. Paul, he was obedient even unto death, mm-hmm. death on a cross in mm-hmm. Philippians. So obedience is a response of love. Obedience is rooted in love. You obey your wife because you love her, and you'll give your life for her, mm-hmm. and the same with the wife to her husband, children to their parents. Obedience is love, and that's the only way we can understand it, and that's the way it's meant to be understood. Anytime obedience in Christian life, in the Gospels, obedience is linked to love. It is love. It's the fullest expression of love, that I love you so much, I will do what I want. And just a couple of the examples, there were a couple of saints. There was one that was told to take a dead rock out into the garden and plant it and water it. And she said, I will do it because I love the person that told me to do that.
Right.
Not because it's insane. But I will do it out of love.
Right.
And that's what Jesus says. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We love him if we love him. And that's the big examination of conscience. Do I really love him? And if I do, then I pay attention to what he said. And I put that into action in the broken world that we live in today.
And very powerful to remember that. The words I carry away from that, too, is when you said to stand apart, sometimes it takes a lot of strength to stand apart from everything that we're seeing. But having this in our hearts, what you talked about today, hopefully with the help of the Holy Spirit, will strengthen us to move into those situations where we can be the peacemakers or the salve or the people that bring a bit of a positive change to the things that happen all around us.
And I think also to understand that standing apart is not passivity.
Right.
Which is what many people may think.
It's actually
standing
active.
Apart is so that I can bring what's good. Stand apart from the evil.
Right.
Stand apart from the confusion in order to enter in with peace and harmony at the end. You know, when everybody's exhausted from putting down everybody else, I can enter back with a bit of peace and order and bring people to God's life.
And we carry that with us as we enter a new week this week. Bishop, thank you for your reflection on this Sunday's gospel. If you would end with a prayer, this episode of Our Shepherd's View.
Let us pray. Grant, Almighty God, that we may celebrate with heartfelt devotion these days of joy, which we keep in honor of the risen Lord, and that we may relive in remembrance what we always hold to in what we do. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
More spring cleaning is needed, and St. Pius X Catholic School wants to help. June 9th and 10th, they'll hold a huge rummage sale at the school, 737 St. Pius Drive. Thanks to generous donations last year, the school was able to purchase life-saving kits for the church, lunchroom, and all the classrooms. This year, they're planning to purchase 13 new classroom door lever handles to enhance school safety and security. These door levers are not cheap. Monetary donations are, of course, always greatly appreciated. However, if you have items to donate for the rummage sale, you may bring them to the parish hall. No clothes or books this year, please. For specific donor drop-off times and dates and other questions about this fundraiser, please call St. Pius X Catholic School, 361-992-1343.